Guess what, guys? Our holiday's coming up. That's right, Valentine's Day. And AdamandEve.com definitely wants you to have some good times. And so do I. So you can type in offer code SEXNERD at checkout, and guess what? You get 50% off almost any item at AdamandEve.com, 3 free DVDs, a free gift, and free shipping. That's pretty cool. And I have to say, looking over all the cool stuff they have, I have my eye on the Lilo Smart Wand. Because, honestly, massages are amazing. And vibrating massagers are extra fantastic. And we talk about the Hitachi Magic Wand, which is on there too, a lot on the show. But the Lilo Smart Wand is extra, extra fancy. It's got a curved handle, so it's really ergonomic. It's got this crazy vibrating technology. Most vibrators, when you press up against your body, they start to slow down because of the resistance. Lilo has built into the smart wand technology where it increases its strength in order to counter that, which I think is genius. Also, it's coated in silicone, so it's totally hypoallergenic and just looks very sexy. Tons of speeds, lots of vibrating fanciness, pulsing, cool stuff. Basically, it's a Corvette of back massagers. So I highly recommend you get one of those. Anyway, AdamandEve.com, offer code SEXNERD, 50% off almost any item, 3 free DVDs, a free gift, and free shipping. That's a fun Valentine's Day. All right, you guys, enjoy the show.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Okay, now for some dates. Hey, there is some crazy neat stuff going on in the month of February. I have to tell you about lots of things coming up. Just added to my calendar is I will be moderating a panel after a screening of The Sessions. Have you heard of The Sessions, about the sexual surrogate that worked with a guy in the 60s, and it's like this beautiful love story and you feel things and Helen Hunt is in it? And Anyway, I'm going to be moderating a panel with the director and producer of The Sessions, plus the surrogate partner that the movie was based on, that Helen Hunt plays. Yes, this is happening February 12th in Santa Monica at the Aero Theater. You can go to AmericanCinematheque.com. That's American, then CinematheQue.com. For more information, that's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. Yeah, please join. Anyway, and then Dave and I will be in New York City on the 21st. We're going to be in Brooklyn at 61 Local podcasting that evening. All of this stuff is going to be on my website, sexnerdsandra.com, at the blog, so you can go there for tickets. Tickets are selling very fast for the New York show, so please come out. Also, Vassar College on the 22nd and 23rd. Vassar was so friggin' rad to have us come out for the non-con. It's basically a big geek nerd conference. Also, I was just told that it's at least 60% women there, so I was like, that's cool. So we're going to be podcasting both on the nights of the 22nd and the 23rd. Yay! Can't wait. Anyway, then I fly over to San Francisco, and on the 25th and the 26th, I'm at Good Vibes. You can find out about tickets at goodvibes.com at the Polk Street location. And I will be talking about Booty Basics on the 25th and 50 Shades of Grey on the 26th. Those evening classes are $20 online and a little bit more at the door. So just go online, get your tickets. Show up and high five, because we are awesome for getting together and talking about the sexy. Anyway, then I'm going to be going back to LA just in time to be in the Body Storytelling Show. That's Bodies, B-A-W-D-Y, storytelling.com. And that's on the 27th at the El Cid Theater in LA. And that last time I was on the Body Storytelling Show, I told a story about almost suffocating to death several times on dental dams in the pursuit of happiness. And, this time, it's the theme of secret life. So if you want to hear a little bit about my secret life, come on down to Body Storytelling. This is a very busy month. Also, Dave, DaveToTheRest.com, he's going to be in New Orleans, in Austin, back in New Orleans, in New York, then joining me. It's crazy. We're busy. I love you guys. I hope you enjoy the show. Danielle Corsetto is amazing, hilarious, and we laughed our asses off. I said it, our asses off, because this is the internet, and I can say that here. Okay, safe place. Friends, Enjoy the show.
Oh, naughty monkeys. We are so in for a treat today. Hello. Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Hey. Guess we have at the table, monkeys. I'm looking at
her. I know. I can see her.
You can see her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very close.
Yeah.
We're very close. We've gotten very close in the past 5 minutes. We're married. She's no longer polyamorous. I've taken this from her.
Danielle. Sorry. I thought you were here for me.
No,
you're
me.
All the way across the table.
We're very possessive, sex-positive people.
That's out of a triad. No, Danielle Corsetto is here of the Girls with Slingshots webcomic and many other things I just found out. Danielle, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Because I know a lot. Okay, we've been Twitter followers of each other for a while now.
That's not true.
Well,
we just found that out today. Yeah, Danielle's been sandbagging. I just started following you too.
Right. Yeah, it's okay. We finally caught up.
Yeah.
Well, I've known of your existence for a while, and you seem to have known about my existence for a while.
Yeah, at least since like last year, like almost exactly a year ago, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then people would talk about how cool you are and say that I should have you on the show.
And who could blame them?
Right. And then I checked out your webcomic, and then you came in to where I work. And I wasn't there. And then someone said you were really cute. And then I was like, bonus points.
Yeah, by the way, thanks, whoever that was. You too.
So all together.
Don't do that. You don't want to do that to that person.
Welcome. So please tell, for people who are not yet aware of how cool you are, tell us all about what you do and what you're about.
Oh, I'm not terribly cool, but the things I do are very cool.
She's cool.
So I do a webcomic called Girls with Slingshots. Mm-hmm. And that's been around since 2004. Mm-hmm. And it's been my full-time job since 2007. So this has been like my goal.
Wow,
since
that's
I was
great.
Eight. Yeah, it's really, I was really, really excited when it actually became a full-time thing. And I guess now I'm actually going to be doing some other projects. So I'm actually out in LA talking to people for other things. Like now that it's out, now the press release is out, I'm doing an Adventure Time book. I'm just writing it. I'm not drawing it. Somebody else is doing the hard work. So I'm kind of stoked about that. So I was here to meet with my editors and...
Wow, that's
great. Get started
great.
On that, yeah.
Adventure Time is awesome.
It's my favorite show. They killed me. This is Boom Studios, and they like have given me, they're like, oh, do you want to ink Garfield, which was what got me into comics in the first place.
Oh, the fuck?
And I flipped, and I was just like, oh my, I need to not take any more jobs, but okay. And I wound up not taking that job after mm-hmm. all. And then they sent me this one, and I'm like, stop it, I don't have free time.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
When you
though.
Have too many job offers
to ink
as an artist.
Garfield?
Yeah. Right. That's a great moment.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I've been really lucky. And actually, I do have another book I'm working on as well. I'm not sure how much I can say about it, but it is about a girl who's desperately trying to lose her virginity. So I can't seem to get away from, except for Adventure Time, away from this, all these sex-related stories that I've been writing.
Totally.
Well, you're writing the Adventure Time book, right? So it's up to you.
We could always make it a little
racy.
A little bit of innuendos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just hide penises in the clouds like Little Mermaid or whatever. You know, the Lion King.
Right.
I could say that for literally anything. Just hide penises in the clouds.
This is kind of my job.
I don't know what to do. Well, just hide penises in the clouds.
So, I don't know. You're totally full-time doing this, being great. And somehow, like, why? Because you're... Slingshots comic is just flush with sex positivity. And was that something that you knew going into your craft, that you were like, I want this to be about that? Or did it just sort of naturally spring forth from your sick perverted brain? just kidding.
No, you're not at all. You nailed it. I was terrified of sex when I was a kid. I was terrified of two things, sex and driving, and I really started liking both of them when I finally got past that portion. So in college, because I was really not extremely repressed, but definitely terrified of like spilling anything to my parents, I was extremely not sexual, but definitely like constantly thinking about sex and just let it loose in college. And so anything that I was writing about constantly was about sex, because I hated that there was this taboo that nobody talked about this. Even my friends were kind of like, whoa, a little too much information about certain things. And I'm like, why can't we just talk about this stuff? Like, everybody's doing it. So I figured the easiest way to be more open about it would be stick it in a comic where mm-hmm. my name is there, but my face isn't. And it's been really great, because a lot of people have related to it since then and emailed me and been like, oh man, thank you so much. Like, I'm finally in tune with myself a little bit more. Like, now I feel like I can talk about this stuff and be accepting of myself on certain levels that I wasn't comfortable with before. So that's been the blessing of this comic, really.
Oh, man. I feel like we need to create something together or something. I'm like, what can we do? What can I how can I use your art and skills while we can rule the world?
I'm game. It'd be like Garfield to me.
Well, you know about the book Sex is Fun, right? It's a webcomic, sex illustrated sex guide.
What?
Or not, did I just say webcomic?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a illustrated sex guide that's like a graphic novel.
I still haven't heard of that, though.
Yeah,
that's weird.
It's from the Sex is Fun podcast. And
I've never heard of that. What's my problem?
What is your problem? No, I love that book. So, I mean, it exists in the world. Oh, my God, Dave.
What?
You would love that book. It's like everything. It's just,
I agree with its name.
It's the best book because it's so simple and you just have two pages of, oh, how to write a dirty letter to your partner or like how to tie someone up. And like, it's like very quick but very fun. It's like how to talk dirty and figure that out. But it's just they summarize it with fun graphics and within like two pages and you're like, oh, I get it.
Nice.
Like, it's great. It's like genius. It's fun. And they have different genders within it. So it's not just all male, female, Caucasian. Like, it's just all sorts of things going on.
Nice.
And you're like, yeah. So it's my fave.
What's my fave? Do they have that here? We're in a comic book shop. Maybe I could find it.
I don't know. Oh, my God. They should totally carry that book. That's important.
They have you guys here. Like, it'd be a tie-in.
I should tell them.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. This is reminding me, by the way, that the reason that I first was like, oh, this is a thing, is because you were looking for asexuality inspiration.
Yeah.
Which is not something.
Asexuality inspiration.
I really wanted to be not turned on for just a moment, for just a second of my life.
Someone, please show me how to not be coming. For once.
Yeah, I have a character who, I already have all these really strange kind of like, just do what you feel relationships going on in there. But one of the main characters is Jamie, and she's this like curvy, just like out there, do whatever kind of gal, just very confident in herself, doesn't care that she's like a little bit bigger than, you know, what most people think is, you know, whatever. So she wound up getting together with this girl because she started thinking, well, maybe I should get with girls. I really like boobs. She's kind of the caveat for my sexuality, actually, a little bit. I'm like, I like boobs. Why do I keep getting with guys? But she started dating this girl, and it turns out this girl was not interested in sex. I never went in there thinking that was going to happen, but like all weird people who write things, the characters just kind of developed themselves and, you know, like told me what they were going to do.
Whoa.
Not in words, not in like sentences or in my dreams, but
sure. But like in like really fully formed 3D figures that walk and talk through your apartment
that I made that I spent lots of time on.
You're Son of Sam. Okay. I get it.
I totally want to ask about your creative process. Like after that, I want to focus on, well, okay, like what is your creative process that you're like, well, they just told me what to do. Like suddenly she just was like, bitch, I'm asexual, don't touch me there. Like, I don't know, how do your characters just suddenly establish?
Well, she was much more shy about it. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I went in with Hazel and Jamie, who are the main characters, and they were, Hazel kind of like encapsulated all of my fears and problems. Poor girl. Like, she just got all of that. And Jamie was always the girl that I wanted to be. But eventually, they really changed into their own people. I think Jamie has always kind of been the same. I didn't expect her to start getting into girls, but whatever. Hazel actually became, like, homosexual. Or not homosexual. The opposite.
Homophobic.
That other one. Which, you know, is obviously not something I have a problem with. And she started, like, taking all these traits that I was like, where did these even come from? So it's really weird. I think if you talk to a lot of writers who do fiction, though, they'll say the same, that like these characters just take off on their own and you have no idea where it comes from.
Huh. You wouldn't say, would you say like less often than not, you don't actually have a plan for a character's personality?
Yeah, kind of. Like they come in and they kind of fill a gap where, you know, where they're just isn't somebody for that person, or like that person is looking, like one of the characters that's established is looking for a partner or looking for a new friend, and you kind of just envision once it's time for that person to come along, they come along, and I don't know, they just,
and it just happens,
they just fit perfectly and then go off just as pretty much anybody you meet. You know, most of the characters that come in, I am really adamant about making sure this is always the case. When a new character comes in, you don't really get to know them that well, and you might think they're absolutely perfect, and eventually they'll show all their flaws. As with a normal person that you meet, they're not going to like fly their flaws out in your face as soon as you meet them. So I get a lot of people being like, why is this person not perfect anymore? And I'm like, how many of your friends found out, you know, that you weren't perfect, or you found out they weren't perfect after getting to know them? So there's the creative process for that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
I like
still
that a lot.
there's still mystery there in this creative process. It just happened.
I can't tell you my secrets.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, God, I have so many questions about your webcomic, but then also I totally want to know, because you did tell me that you were poly. So I'm like, were you poly in high school when you started?
Hells no. No, I you've actually thrown a few words around on this podcast where I'm like, oh my God, I'm not the only person who uses that. I had never heard anybody say serial monogamous besides myself, because I was definitely for like a decade and only just started doing the poly thing like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was the best choice ever for me.
Really?
Yeah. All the guys I was dating in those 10 years, not every single one, but most of them I cheated on. I was always very upfront and would come up to them and be like, hey, I was out last night. I did some stuff with somebody. Let's just talk before you go in for a kiss. Let's just talk and you can decide whether you want to stay with me. But I was constantly, you know, cheating on them, or, you know, just like constantly had my eyes on somebody else, and suddenly realized, you know, I could just not lie to people from the get-go and be like, this is actually what I'm like. I mean, when I was 6 years old, I remember telling my mom that I was like, I'm never getting married. I'm never having kids. I'm going to ride a pony to work every day. And I think that first one.
And you do all of that.
Yeah. I mean, cartooning is about as close as you can get
to riding a pony to work. Absolutely. So.
you just take a lap around the block and come back to your house.
It's a great metaphor for whatever it is that you love and doing that for a living.
Riding a unicorn.
I want to ride a pony to work someday.
Which is funny, because I was at a dungeon party last night and somebody was walking around in a pony outfit, like full on latex head to toe, blinders on, leather, over harness, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, because I love role play and accepting people for exactly who they present themselves. Yes. I kind of like went up to like, and obviously there was sort of a dumb owner of the pony, and they were kind of walking over to the snack bar, and I'm kind of like, oh, what a pretty pony. I love ponies. And he's kind of like, he's just not sure what to say. I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, are you the owner? Like, oh, you know, it was just really cute. I had better luck with a puppy owner. This combo. I was like, can I pet your puppy? And she's like, yeah. And then I like pet it. And I was like, oh, look at you.
Was that a real puppy? Or this was
No. This is a human. Oh. This is a human pretending to be a puppy.
Huh. I wonder why the puppy had entered its role more than the pony.
I don't know. I knew the owner of the puppy. But the pony, yeah, was very like, yeah, I got these hooves at Stockroom. And I'm like, okay.
Weird. Well, that's not fun.
I'm like, well, in case I ever need some hooves. Like, no, I wanted a... You're a puppy right now, or a pony right now. Like, I want to...
That's so funny. That's like...
Like, why be a pony?
It's like they were writing a sketch about being in a dungeon. It's just like, I'm just imagining a guy in a pony outfit talking to someone in a puppy, and it's they're both in latex. Yeah, I got these hooves at Stockroom. Oh, really? Oh, I've been looking for better hooves. Yeah. Stockroom for sure. It's good. Great latex at Michael's now. Zap off. Anyway, I just came.
Oh. Anyway, speaking of ponies, that was just a side note.
That's where you went.
Yeah. No, but I was like dressed as a bunny. So I'm like, technically, I'm in a bunny
outfit.
The bunny.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Man, you're talking about doing video stuff. Good Lord. Why don't we have role players meeting each other? So funny.
Right.
A bunny walking up to a pony being like, well, you're a nice little pony. And he was like, why won't this rabbit shut the fuck up? I just want to talk about where I got my hooves.
Wait, how do you get an invitation to, I don't even know what kind of party you'd call that.
Facebook.
Zookeepers.
Well, I mean, if you're on FetLife, anyway, FetLife is definitely, a petting zoo
that's
party.
What they should call it.
That seems interesting.
Oh my God, that'd be great, actually.
That sounds fun. You know, just stick right behind the ears a little bit. No, why not? But
I'm made very uncomfortable by that idea.
Which is funny because, like, I mean...
I find that personally off-putting. What? I'm just expressing my emotion toward the idea of a petting zoo party. It makes me like, oh, God, I got to get out of here.
There does sound to be a lot of touching involved at a petting zoo party.
Just if I were to walk into a party and there were people in a pen, I'd be like, oh, these Jews are going to die.
Oh, my goodness. If you're on FetLife.com, which is basically like kinky people's Facebook, there just to have a membership to have access to the events page is really nice for your local area. It's great. But
FetLife, I never heard of that.
Yeah, FetLife. It's
really?
It's the place.
Yeah.
I feel like you would have by now, just because of her.
Right, yeah.
We've talked about a lot of that.
She keeps me in the dark.
FetLife does
in her basement.
FetLife has come
you're
up.
You're halfway there.
FetLife has come up.
No, never once.
Although I don't have a Sex Nerd Sandra account. I have a secret account, so people don't know. Yeah.
Name is kinda... Dave Ross.
Ooh.
No, don't do that to me. A lot of people come up to me like, hey, so are you going to the, who are you? Who are you?
But this is, I mean, this is a place that's, it's just 10 or 15 bucks at the door, and it happens almost every weekend. There's something going on, and there's a stage show and a bar and a DJ, and it's just, it's like a club, basically, except there's playrooms. There's playrooms, and the theme was Predator and Prey.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what the theme was.
There was a theme. That's why I was just as a buddy.
Predator and Prey. Was someone dressed as the Predator?
Oh, I wish. That would be
awesome. And then Danny Glover would be his partner. Oh, you're such a cute Danny Glover. Yeah, I got these hooves in stock room.
Oh, anyway. enough about me. Let's talk about so many things. Actually, wait. Wasn't I going to tell you something about last night that you were asking me about something?
I want to know everything, so go for it.
Oh,
excuse me. Is that you?
Oh, actually, right. Like I was telling you guys. Sorry, before we started recording,
I'm still here with my gum.
So my friend asked me to perform at this dungeon, just sort of a basic little, like, I'm a bunny, she's a predator, she was going to be a leopard, and you know, we're going to have a basic, like, I'm grazing, and she's going to get me, and then, like, you know, give me a spanking, and then I'll be like, oh, and then I run away when she goes to get her flogger, and then she's like, got me again, and it was just this really funny, and I love just being silly. Like, I go into it like it's theater, and I'm like, what is my motivation? You know, what is, I'm all about the theater, and she's like, no, this is like a scene, so we're going to warm you up and do it. I'm like, oh, right, this is an actual BDSM. SM scene. Okay. But like, I'm still like really want to be in bunny character. Like, so
it seems like maybe you should be an actor.
Yeah, it, honestly, it's
because that's acting, and there are people that do that for a living.
And yeah, and people were like raving about my bunny, and I was like, thanks, guys. Yeah. Thank you. But
are there people out there who do reviews of BDSM character work? Because I need a job.
That would be amazing.
Be so awesome. Sandra Doherty stole the show as a bunny.
No, the wolves were fantastic too. It really, and the leopard, I mean, really, it was a team effort. It was a team effort.
The pony kind of phoned it in.
About a minute into the scene, I hear in the audience this like rustle, and then somebody, I hear like sex, and like Sandra, like I hear these words, and my friend after told me, because then we went into the scene and like just things happened, and said that people in the audience were like, oh my god, I listened to her podcast while the scene's going on. And it's freaking me out, because I realize that what I just do in my regular like private fun with friends time is now public display for listeners possibly, and I'm all like, fuck, now is the time where that gets weird.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah,
actually.
Because no one came up to say, hey, nice podcast. Right. Everyone's just, so who in this room right now is just observing?
It was me.
It was you in the back. I'll get you to a dungeon someday. Someday.
Yeah, you will. Adorable. Someday.
Yeah. Someday. Or, yeah, break you
I
up.
Just don't even have, like, and then I put the gum in my mouth, and now it's just going to be this wad in my mouth because I can't chew in them. Anyway, I don't even have, like, the free time in my life enough for dating. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's that definitely comes first.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's just. It's
but
a
we'll
field,
do it
it's
someday.
It's a podcast field trip. It's a podcast.
It'll happen. This will happen.
We'll just have you in a corner and a camera on your face, and then you can just experience the magic. Be great. Anyway, back to you, Danielle.
Can't wait to be in a corner with a camera on my face.
Well,
terrifying.
Your reactions will probably be really exciting.
I don't know. I mean, they'll be exciting either way, but I'll probably be screaming at some point. I'm, like, really not good in new social situations.
Exactly.
And if you throw in, like, pain or role play or other things I'm not familiar with, oh, man.
Well,
it might as well just be, like, a party where everyone's dressed like my parents, you know?
That's the next theme, weirdly.
Dave's parents.
Dave's parents versus ninjas. That's the scene.
Why is the whole country obsessed with ninjas and Dave's parents right now?
Pirates were just so they just so replaced it with your parents. So you've been poly for about 4 years, you said. And how is that? Because, I don't know, spring's in the air. It's coming up. It's people are experiencing new kinds of relationship models. And I'm noticing that a lot of people are trying poly and it's not working, mm-hmm. and they go back to monogamy, or everyone's trying to find what works for them. I mean, that's kind of the game, right? Yeah, is finding what works for you in your life, mm-hmm. whether it be monogamy and the communication that you have within your relationship, no matter what your behavior is. To how honest are you in your relationships? I mean, it's like all those levels of things. So if poly's working so well for you, tell us the secrets.
Well, I mean, for me, the reason I got into it is because I'm a terrible liar. Like my brother and my dad and his entire family, we all suck at lying. We just can't lie at all.
Even if we try.
It is a great quality. The best part of it is that none of us have to worry about remembering what we lied about. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
Much easier, actually, because mm-hmm. we also have terrible memories. So the two of them together, just fine. I mean, the reason I wanted to get involved in this is that I wanted to be able to be really honest with whoever my partner was. And if I'm going to be interested in other people, even though I'm not going to like claim to be the best at this, I'm still learning and still been like a total learning process for me. But to be like, it actually pushes, you know, my idea of what a relationship is in the first place and how honest I need to be with that person. Now that I have the rules relaxed a bit and I can be that honest, now I kind of have to force myself to be that honest, which is really cool. So it's like, if I'm interested in somebody new and, you know, with my first partner,
is it like a primary when you say first?
Kind of. I hate saying, it's funny you had somebody on here saying I don't like primary
it
partner.
Is weird.
Yeah. Because it's more like I have three best friends or something, you know, like they're all so different. It's just I've been with this one for the longest. But when we started dating, I was just so bent out. I'd gotten out of like the only really bad breakup that I'd ever had, which was like two blocks away from my house.
Wow.
And he still lives there.
Oh, man.
it's a very small, it's like 2,000 people in this house or in this town.
It's a big house.
Yeah.
You live in a town.
Big house.
You live in a town of 2,000?
You live in a town that's a house?
We can all fit in a house. Wow. I have a big house.
It's like a clown car. It's a clown village.
That's the bathroom. That's the kitchen. That's the high school.
We all come to in the corner of that house.
Yeah.
But just because it's a really small town, like it was a bad breakup and I was like, I don't ever want to do this again and I'm never dating local ever again. Not difficult because there are 2,000 people there. When I started dating, you know, my first partner in this kind of crime, I was like, I don't really want to do the normal relationship thing. And it already took me so much effort to be able to like tell him that mm-hmm. and just, you know, let it out. Like I'm not interested in getting married. I'm not looking to be somebody's like one and only. I'm just not interested in being that. So it was already like a first step to be like, I don't want to do this and then go, oh God, is it okay?
Yeah.
And he was great. He's absolutely wonderful. He was the perfect person to start this with. And, you know, I later became friends with, he was mostly just having casual sex and he's so honest. He'll like call me up. And since I'm into girls as well, he'll just be like, you want to hear what we did? You know, like, tell me all these stories. There's all this, you know, there are certain things that I'm not really into that luckily he's found other people who are into. And mm-hmm. he's just the most sex positive person I've ever met in my life. He's amazing. Is up for anything.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I mean, sex positive, like very accepting, but also adventurous and curious and
yeah.
wants to experience.
Oh, big time. If I came up with anything, even if it was nothing he would have ever come up with, he'd be like, okay, well, we can try that. Yeah. Let's figure out how to try that. It's fine. New weird toys on me, whatever. It's fine. You know, he's really cool. And just really positive in general. So I became friends with somebody who was a seasoned poly person who's been Ooh. Like with his life partner for I don't know how many years now, like 12, 15 years. And I mean, they moved together from like a really far away place to where they live now in Canada. And I started talking with him, just became friends with him. He's a fan of the comic. And he started telling me all this stuff. Like when we first met, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm non-monogamous. And I'm like, what even is that? Oh, I guess that those words together make sense, but it doesn't really make sense to me.
Oh, so you were practicing non-monogamy without even having labels.
What it was really. Yeah, I just said, let's keep the relationship loose. And I would love to hear what you do with other girls with my first partner. And then this, you know, this person I met later was like, oh, it's actually a thing. There's like words for it. And like,
wow, that's some frontiers type stuff. Like you're like
yeah.
a frontiers woman.
Yeah, I didn't even know what was past that west, I don't know, the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Just going for it.
You thought the world was flat? Nope. The world was round.
So round.
Discovered. And there were words. Like round. You know, that's amazing. Because for me, until I actually, like I knew that I fell outside the norm of what I felt in terms of relationships and what I wanted.
Yeah.
But until I actually had role models, it didn't click that I could actually embrace those feelings as actually natural. For me, it was it was sort of this dark corner of my feelings. I mean, I'm sure that your version of living your life and your relationships is very different than how I live my life, because each person kind of has to figure out what they want on their own, which is crazy and great and confusing sometimes.
And exciting.
And exciting.
A little bit.
So you've got a person in Canada. And you, it sounds like you've got a local partner.
He's actually, the closest one is 6.5 hour drive from me. So it's my East Coast partner. And I have the Canadian partner, which is luckily one lives halfway between the distance of the other one. So I actually drive up, visit him, and then go up.
Wow, it's like a little tour.
It's great. I mean, they've known each other. My first partner is actually, I hooked him up with the other one's life partner. I was like, you guys would actually get along really well. You're both smart and like fun, and they hit it off. So...
So your one of your partners is now also with your other partner's life partner?
Yeah, they don't do it a whole lot anymore, but, you know, just kind of like when it was convenient for them to be able to see each other, because it is still a long distance, and she doesn't drive. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was like, you guys would be interested in each other. And it made it a lot easier to explain to people, because then I'd be like, you know, most people would be like, oh, well, is, you know, your Canadian partner's life partner, is she upset, or, you know, is she weirded out by this? And just to preface, by the way, she's the most important person in my relationship with him. Like, I made sure that she was cool with me even being near her man before, you know, even flirting with him. I was terrified to do anything until I knew it was okay. But yeah, now I'm like, oh yeah, we just couple swap, and I'd be like, oh, that makes more sense. It's like a little more complicated than that, but at least that makes more sense to most people. So
that's hilarious.
It works. And then my fella out here who I'm visiting is a friend of mine from a long time ago who I just had the biggest crush on when I met him. And there's an accidental reply all email that I sent to him confessing to my best friend that I had this huge crush on him.
Oh, no.
It was the best mistake ever.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it really worked out well, obviously.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I'm hearing this because I think it's important to just hear how different people are wired. You know, like we talk about like how Dave, you're wired, how I'm wired. And like hearing you talk about this, do you experience... Now, a lot of people, I've heard the thing like, yeah, I'd like to date other people outside of my relationship, blah, blah, blah. But if I actually expressed that and it were equal, I would be incredibly jealous about my partner doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. It's funny because it's the opposite for me. Like if my, you know, my first partner, when he started seeing other girls before I even started putting my big toe in the pool, I was like, okay, cool. Cause I want to make sure he's all right. Like, and that he doesn't feel like I'm just trying to run around with other men. I want to make sure he knows that I really do mean it. Mm-hmm. So I felt way better about that. Weirdly, my partner in Canada, and I mean, I've told him this before, but I have some jealousy issues with him, and I think it's mostly been that we don't talk as often. And so he'll like flirt with a girl. He's much more online, like flirt with a girl on Facebook or something. I'll be like, I see him always liking her stuff and like he's always commenting on, you know, her stuff. And then I'll come up and visit him and I've still already got this thing. And I'm like, have 12 hours of driving to be, or, you know, six and then six to be like, how am I going to talk to him about this? And the moment I see him, he'll be like, so the girl that I have a crush on, blah, 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 blah. And I'll be like, oh, you just needed to talk to me about it. That was all that was missing, is that I just wanted to know I was on your team still. Like, you can tell me all about this cool girl you're into. And then it would be fine. So
interesting.
It's wild because it's really different with each partner. But, you know, like, you just kind of figure out what your issues are with each of them and what's missing and just kind of try to fill it.
Right. Because I've talked to some people and I've heard that expression that they want to be in on, like, they want to know exactly what happened on that date with their partner, with somebody else. They want to know how they're feeling about other people, and they just want to know that it's completely transparent. While other people don't want to know and kind of like the don't ask, don't tell policy and are very comfortable with that. And it's really interesting how different people have a very different preferences of how they go about this, I don't want to say gray area, but this sort of...
It is a huge gray area.
It is, it's this giant, sexy gray area of stuff going on. I don't know. That was a lot of trying to find eloquence.
Big, sexy gray area.
You had a long night.
I did. I did. Oh, God.
Let's talk about that.
A long night. I know.
No, I mean, it was...
Oh, man, I wish...
Huh.
wish I would have thought of this. My friend, what? A close friend of mine, had the craziest sexual encounter the other day where it was like, I'm not going to go into details because I don't know if he's okay with me talking about it, but I will say this. Basically what happened was that a girl tried to rape him. That's like basically what happened. Not totally, because it was consensual up to the point where like they went out and then she was like very quickly like, let's go home. And he was like, I mean, all right, I guess. And then they went and she, you know, they were fooling around and then she was just like trying to force him to have sex with her immediately. And he was like, no, I have to put a condom on. And she wasn't going to let him put a condom on.
Oh, God, that drives me nuts.
And she was like grabbing him and like forcing her vagina onto his dick.
What the hell?
I haven't heard of something like this ever in my life. Well, once before. I know. Big thumbs down.
So he was trying to like taking her thighs and trying to like keep her off his penis.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't get that specific with the way that he was resisting, but it was like he was pushing her away and be like, no, I have to get a condom. Which is so funny because he's 25 or 26, mm-hmm. and I don't know how old she was, but she was in her early 20s, I think. And even like when I was a 25-year-old man, I'm not proud of this, but I all the sex I had was unprotected. It wasn't good, but I was just like, yeah, who cares? Yeah, no condom. That's great. That sounds great. That feels good. Mm-hmm. And so it's like insanely respectable. I mean, I think it's difficult as like a young guy to not just want to be like, here we go, you know? And it's like you never hear that story about the guy being like, wait, I have to, you know?
No, totally. At the same time, I've had a lot of conversations with guys lately, I've noticed, where they are seriously considering the implications of what if I get someone pregnant.
And I think about it all the time. Nice. Yeah.
Those are keepers. I'm just saying.
In a good way?
Keepers in a good way. Yeah, even though I don't want to get married, I mean they're keepers.
Well, that's funny. I've actually always been like that. Like if a girl, I'll be like, are you on the pill? And then I wasn't scared about disease, which I think is...
Yeah, honestly, I think it's so weird that like our sex ed was always like, STDs, and I'm like, hello, I do not want to get knocked up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Way right. worse of it, not a disease, I don't want to put it that way, but you know, that's a very permanent problem.
Disease.
Thing
it's
to
very
have.
Permanent disease.
Event. It is a major life change, changing the game. Yeah. Diapers or college. Sometimes both. A lot of times both.
Diapers or college. That but, is the question.
I mean, especially for, you know, 15-year-old kids. It's important for them to be aware of things. Oh, God. That's hilarious. I can't even.
I want to bring him on
here. Oh, God. I tweeted about this recently, but I just have to also express this because I'm so excited about it. I don't know if you guys saw it, but... Someone sent me info, my friend Jason, about a new type of condom that's in testing called the origami condom.
What is that?
That instead of it rolling down, it actually
it turns
comes down.
Into a duck.
It's like an accordion.
Okay.
So it's.
Oh, so it's not rolled. So it just opens.
Yeah, and it's like scrunches, but it's got folds.
But then does it like just sort of like vacuum suck onto your the penis then? That description makes it sound loose.
You know,
rolling a condom on makes it easy to get onto the
penis. It is designed so that it's tight enough to stay on, but that there's lots of movement so that the penis
nice.
Actually gets lots of... So I was like, because I'm sorry, but I've been trying to test the whole condom blowjob situation, and it is challenging.
I've been trying to do that too. I keep bringing flavored condoms with me to visit.
Oh, don't
partner.
Do flavored condoms because
really?
They taste terrible. And the mint turns
your mint
tongue
one sounds
green. Yeah,
that's a plus.
Yeah,
it turns your tongue green.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, this one brand that I tried.
That's so funny.
Like this is not sexy.
Wow, they really screwed up on that.
Well, but something where it's a condom that's thin but can also act as a masturbation sleeve type movement.
Oh, yeah.
And this totally fits the bill in terms of the video. But it's still in testing, so it's not available. But they're actually in LA, so I totally want to be like, guys, come on. Because I'm excited about, I mean, condoms haven't had any breakthroughs in the last, almost 100 years?
Breakthrough, that's a kind of funny word to
condom
use.
Condom breakthrough. Yeah, that's true.
Heck.
Been plenty of condom breakthroughs.
So I'm really hopeful for this. But it's made of silicone as well.
Nice. Oh,
it's
what?
It's a silicone condom.
It drives me nuts that there's just like this one standard condom thing. Like this is such a, to me and to everybody, it's such an important thing to like improve upon. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we haven't like just have insane amount, like socks, like some are plaid, some are long.
Argyle condoms.
Oh my God, are there Argyle condoms?
There needs to be now.
Yeah.
There, yeah, yeah.
There should be anything
in Argyle.
There should be jogging condoms and jogging like tube condoms. Sock condoms.
Jogging condoms.
No, she was comparing condoms to socks.
And now I'm getting creative in my mind as to how that could be used as a jogging thing too.
Sporty. I don't know for the quickie. I don't know
the quickie. Yeah,
sure.
There you go. Ankle condoms. No, there are Sensus condoms. I think Sensus condoms are interesting because they have this little plastic. There's a strip in. It's rolled up. When it's rolled up, there's a strip in it so that you pull the tabs and it rolls the whole thing down.
Whoa!
It didn't catch on though.
Why is it called a Sensus condom?
That's just the brand.
Oh,
it might have been why it didn't catch on.
S-E-N-S-I-S.
Yeah. It seems a little technical.
And the packaging
seems like a government condom.
It didn't seem that self-explanatory on the box, but I thought the idea was fantastic, and I thought that the quality of the latex was actually pretty good. But yeah, people just didn't catch on. But that was at least something to make condoms easier, because when you're fumbling in the dark, and if your condom and the size of it just isn't quite right, and then you're like struggling to put it on, and then there's an erection fluctuation, and then it's just there are so many elements.
It would be kind of cool if a condom was more like a jacket. If you just sort of folded it over,
zip it up.
Make sure you
it's like fumbling in the dark. And I was just talking to a friend about this today. How irritating! Like, because a condom is fine, and you have to do it, and it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's kind of the worst thing in the world.
And
if you're nervous at all, if I am nervous at all in a sexual encounter, the condom ruins the sex.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's like those two things. You can't have them both.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Nerves and a condom. And if a condom were a jacket, I'd be like, just put my jacket on. Yeah. You know,
I'm kind of cold.
Yeah, I'm kind of cold down here.
Yeah,
I've been trying to do the. I don't know. But I've practiced in the past the female condoms. Mm-hmm. My first partner, I guess, he's like my guinea pig for everything that I want to try out for the strip. Uh-huh. If I'm like hence the flavored condoms, which I will now stay away from, which I bought like 50 of. So, oh well. Not
unlubricated. You can lube inside and outside and choose what you want, or just use regular ones and use flavored lube over. But just what they put in it is just not that great. Or I haven't found
even worse than balloons.
Even worse than this. It's just not that great. Yeah.
I made him use a dental dam on me. So I was like, I got lesbians in my comic. I need like some references for this.
Have you dental dam sex nerded?
He did it for me. And I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I just really want you to try this for me. Like, it would really be helpful to me. He's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's fine. He was like, oh, this is actually not strawberry or whatever it says it was. So we haven't practiced past that.
Okay.
Sorry, lesbians.
No, it's okay. Or anyone that wants to use a dental dam.
Right.
I talked about this already, right? That I did a dental dam sex lab recently?
I think so. Didn't we talk about that in the STD episode?
That was since that. I mean, it's been much sooner, but yeah,
maybe. I think so.
Oh, yeah, a gal friend and I got together and we're like, polyurethane, blah blah.
Wait, what? How was that?
Blah.
Polyurethane, blah.
Saran wrap.
Man, I wish I had an animated GIF of that.
Oh, Jaya on the oral sex episode, we were talking about dental dams. Okay,
nice. Oh, yeah,
just wanted to make sure that we covered it.
By the way, this is a total aside, but I'm going to do this right now. There are two of them, Instagram equivalents for making animated GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, it's the coolest. I just downloaded one called GIF Boom, and there's another one apparently called Cinegram that people are saying is smoother.
Nice.
But
oh
it's
God,
just exactly like Instagram. But I'm going
to
make a animated GIF right now of your dental dam face. Come on.
Awesome.
Come on. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sure, yeah? I guess. I don't know what's happening.
I don't have to post it if you don't want to. But, all right, hold on.
Edit point.
You don't have to do it. I don't know. I think we should leave this in.
I don't know. Do I have like a video that I...
Yeah, I'm going to tell you when to go.
Okay.
It's just going to take 20 images in a row. And when I count down from three, when I hit, it'll be 3, 2, 1, go. Then just go...
Okay.
You don't need your hands up. Or maybe, okay.
It's fucking dental dams.
All right.
I'm committed.
All right, girl.
Ah.
Just make sure you're looking at the phone. And, man.
The hair comes down.
Actually, I should have got an animated GIF of you sexying up your hair. That was all. And hold on. Here we go.
Ooh.
don't know what's going on.
Oh, man.
I hope there's audio on that, too.
Yeah. I am a really...
So great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. That is so awesome. Stay tuned. We'll post this online. We will post this online very soon.
Wait a minute. I have a question before we get into Kissing Protocol.
Okay.
You've been a longtime listener of this show.
Yeah.
Have any of the sex tips worked out for you? Like, private questions?
No.
No.
I love hearing people bring out, take from the show.
Damn. I wish I would have thought of that beforehand, because I'm sure, like, I feel like I've even listened and been like, oh my God, I'm going to use that. I'll tell her someday that I used it, and I don't remember.
Let it be in your brain in case something comes up.
A lot of the poly stuff that you brought in, though, has been really great. A lot of it, I like the read about sex thing. I have like a bookmark thing of his jealousy tips. It was right when I was starting to have jealousy issues, and I was like, oh, that's so helpful. And I haven't read it, but I did get ideas from what he said.
Yeah, that's totes his forte. Yeah. He's great about that stuff. Yeah.
No, you've given me some tips. I just need to think of which ones they were that I have specifically used.
Are there any times that you like yell at the mic, or at the mic, you yell at the speakers like, no, Dave, Sandra, don't. What? I have something to share.
Oh, I've had full-on conversations one-sided with you guys. Uh-huh. I live alone and have cats, so, you know.
Me too. Actually, I have roommates. They're basically cats. So. There's piss on everything.
There's a giant shed litter box
everywhere.
Exactly.
So I've been thinking about this because we talk about love and we talk about sex a lot, and there is that moment of the first time you touch a person and kiss a person. There is that magical sort of space where there's a lot of inner monologue going on. There's attraction. There's, do I kiss them? Do I not? What is your first kiss protocol?
That's so tricky. I've had so many in the past like couple of years compared to, you know, most years.
Lots of first kisses.
They've all been so different, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Do you tend to be the one who leans in for the kiss?
It depends. No, normally not. I had to be once, and it was so difficult. And it was so cool to be on that side, though, and be forced to, like, wait and wait and wait and finally be like, oh, my God, he's not going to do this, like, for days kind of deal. It was really intense. We were sleeping next to each other for, like, 5 days, and we both knew we had crushes on each other. This is the one up in Canada.
Aww.
And, like, every night I'd be like... Like, I'm in like, my panties and a, you know, t-shirt or whatever I sleep in. That's, well, usually I sleep in less, but I just come up to visit. So I was like, oh, yeah, it's normal. He's so sex positive. I can just sleep in my panties, no big deal. And every night I'm like, oh, my God, why isn't he trying to make out with me? Why isn't he trying to make out with me? And I actually kind of like that I finally get to the point where I'm like, you know what? You've been dating guys who've been after you for so long. Go after this guy. And it was actually, like, I still, like, think about this moment, like, oh, this is so sweet. I laid there for, like, an hour staring at him in the dark, and it turns out he was doing the exact same thing.
Oh.
We were both awake the entire time, and I finally was like, just touch his arm. Just touch his arm. And I touch his arm, and he's like, oh, thank God.
He said that?
Yeah, he's like, oh, thank God. And we just started making out. It was really sweet.
That's so cool.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's a big
step. It's so cool to hear, because I think probably every guy, or at least every guy who's, like, you know, worth of salt, has been in that position.
Yeah,
I certainly have, laying there and being like, or whatever, should I kiss her? And you never think that the other person's going, well, why don't you kiss me? Like, it doesn't even seem like a reality.
Yeah.
It seems like that person isn't even thinking about it. And you're just like, well, I mean, it's not going to affect her positively or negatively if I don't try at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm starting
cool to
find
that other people are freaking out about it, too.
Yeah. He's... I mean, I don't know if it's because of what I do or what, but I would say that in more recent years, I've definitely had to be more of the instigator.
Oh, yeah.
Where, yeah, the time is passing. We are growing older, and we are still staring at each other. And I know I got to leave this party in 45 minutes. And you just can feel, it. You're like, you know, do you say something? Do you not? Do you let it go? What if they're not? What if they're not really into it? What if it's just you? And... Like, do you ever ask someone, like, hey, do you want to kiss?
That's such a great way to do it sometimes.
That's what I do now.
Yeah?
Generally, that's what I do. Can I kiss you? I say that. Unless it's, like, really apparent. I mean, some people just put it out there. Mm-hmm. I went on a first date a little while ago. It went really well. But I actually, never expect. In my mind, a first date, like, I don't even think about that stuff. I, like, really try to put it out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And it can happen if it happens. But generally, I just, like, want to, you know, get to know the person, have a good time. And if they want to hang out again, then it's like, all right, well, then, okay, now we're doing something.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. But then I went on a first date, like, a few months ago. I guess it was more like half a year ago now, with a girl just, like, she basically presented herself to me after the date. I was like, hey, that was a lot of fun. We should go out again. She was like, yes. And then just like stepped forward a foot, like right to my face, and just like stuck. Like she was a little bit shorter than me, and like tilted her chin up. And I was like, "Wow, okay, well, I guess I have to." That was pretty clear. She's not at this point going to be like, "What are you doing?" yeah.
Wait. So did you not want to kiss her?
It's not that I didn't want to. It's just that I wasn't thinking about it. I always want to kiss girls every single time I meet one.
But it just doesn't.
What you mean?
Yeah, I feel right. Like yeah, totally.
Do you imagine, like, I do this constantly. If I'm in, like, an elevator or something like that, I'm just like looking at everybody and I'm like, what would happen if I just stepped up and just started making out with that guy?
Right?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Do you know who Rick Shapiro is? No. Do you guys know who he is? Okay, he is a comedian in town and he's been around for a long time. He's good friends with Louis C.K. He has a couple albums. The thing about Rick is that he's a really sweet guy who has had a crazy past that makes him look kind of, he looks greasy. He looks bad. He doesn't look like necessarily, you know, that's hard. It sucks because I like Rick a lot, but he has like a leather jacket and he talks kind of like this and he has big sideburns and he's like kind of fucked up from drugs. So he like is a little shaky. And that guy, you would never expect him to be that appealing to the opposite sex or whoever. And you'll literally, he will do that. He will just walk up to a girl he's never met before, grab her and like, you know, and like dip her as if they're dancing and just fucking make out with her, like what? In a diner.
But is she like, yes?
In a diner.
I saw it happen once and it was that thing like in movies where the girls for the first second or two, like have their hands up like, no. And then they just like embrace and then they just like start making out. It's crazy. It's crazy that he can do it.
That's going to be in that book, that the rules book, I'm sure. This is what you do. You just walk up and start.
So I asked the question to listeners about what their kissing protocol is. And like one guy, Nate, said, like, do not drool on her. Like several people were like, panic. Just pure panic. Seriously. You know, if you've both felt chemistry, a first date kiss is a really great way to end the date. Yes, but how do you actually do it, Lady Cheeky? How do you do it? Hope for the best. And someone was like, do you ever notice most people tilt their head to the right going in for the first one? Like, that is kind of good. I mean, you don't want to go in straight.
Like, yeah, you don't want to poke noses.
Unless you don't have a nose, in which case,
yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, definitely go for it. It's awesome that you are going out with people.
So, I remember my dad said this about movie kissing when I was a kid, and it always stuck with me. And he was just like, I hate it when two people are kissing at the end of the movie and they don't turn their heads because it's so uncomfortable. And if you look, it's true. When two actors kiss in a movie,
weird.
If one person isn't tilting their head and they go in straight, the other person is forced to do a really sharp angle. So it's good to have a little bit of a tilt. So that everyone's comfortable. It's some basic
procedure. Well, that's just
kissing,
you know? Right?
Yeah, but you're thinking about so much, especially a first kiss, that you might be a little stiff.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, true. Oh, man. See, I think, okay, now that I'm thinking about it more, I feel like the greatest way to, like, kind of ease into your first kiss with somebody, I'm already a pretty touchy-feely person, and it does require a touchy-feely person to be like this, but just testing the waters to the point where, like, you're getting so comfortable touching each other that it's like, your faces are going to get nearby each other. I mean, as long as you both are comfortable with it and, you know, the other guy's kind of respond, the other person is responding to you appropriately, those are the best to just, like, not even have to worry about it anymore. The nervousness is gone. Like, we've already touched elbows and I've touched his clavicle.
That is good. Okay. Yes. This is my thing about first kissing protocol. I have rejected that notion of we're going to spend a whole date or whatever together. We're going to be talking on a couch at a friend's place, however it is that you're connecting. And then at some point, boom, lean in, kissing time.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be some like arm touching, some other things going on, because a lot of people just are, you know, it's sort of like when people think, oh, I want a sex toy, but like, I don't want a giant dildo. Because they just jump to the crazy farthest possible thing that they can. When it's like, no, touch their arm or like run your nails down their arm, just see if they like it or if they're like, whoa, that felt weird. I mean, be playful about it.
Well, the one thing I will say is that there is, I don't know, I what I do like about the not doing anything slightly sexual up until that first kiss is that then, I mean, you know, it happens because you don't know where you are with the other person and you haven't actually, that's like a gap that you have to breach. Mm-hmm. At least that is for me.
The leap of faith.
And I really like the, like, I mean, it's difficult and it's like nerve wracking and stuff like, ah, should I do this? But then when you kiss the person, it's just like, the floodgates are open, you know? It's super intense. Even if it's just really like calm and like light and you're not gonna even date for that long. You know what I mean? It's just really cool. So I do like that part of it. And I think that it would make it easier for me to kiss the person if we were doing like some touching and stuff. And actually that does happen a fair amount. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're like drinking on the date and you know, you end up like putting your arm around them or whatever. Mm-hmm. It makes you more comfortable with the idea of kissing them. But I don't know. That just like out of nowhere, bam, is great. Mm. I like that too.
That's true. I did have one of those. I've had more in recent times. I did notice where it went from no touching. Well, there was some cuddling on a date. But then when it was like we were alone and we're just kind of sitting there. And then all of a sudden it was like, it was that moment where it's like, wow, you are not going to do anything right now. You're here and I'm here and we're all here. And there is music playing and we are alone. And there is only one conclusion to this situation. And you are not moving. And so I was like, I was like, all right. And I just basically just jumped in their lap and just started kissing them. Like just, it was just like straight up like, no touching, bam, you get everything. Welcome. You know, it's like, all right, let's bring it on.
Yeah.
So it was, that did feel really good.
Yeah.
But there had still been touching earlier.
It's hard to avoid. But you were talking about like running your fingers up their arm. Like that's kind of a grand gesture on a first date. Like
that's a great gesture. But just, yeah, the first date is kind of.
I mean, it
depends on who it is.
It feels good. It feels really good. But I just like if a girl, I might find that off-putting if a girl did that to me on a first date.
Yeah.
Just like started like. Because that's a really like sensual feeling, mm-hmm. like fingernails on your arm. If a girl just did that to me, I'd be like, well, all right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I'd react.
I mean, what if you're hanging out at your house or wherever?
I mean, what am I saying? I would like it. I just like it. There's nothing that I wouldn't like about that.
Well, when Jaya started touching your arm, it was like, yeah. Or like starting with a massage, like, hey, here, let me massage your feet or something. You know, that's kind of sweet when someone and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
True.
Sure.
That's led to quite a few first kisses from Anstra.
Really?
Quite a few. Yes. Man.
Does that mean that you're like, hey, let me massage
I gotta
your feet?
Find someone to make out with tonight. It's like, that's all I want to do right now.
You did
now.
Just become a foot massage person tonight. Foot masseuse.
Yeah.
Just only for really hot girls. I don't know.
Only for really hot girls. That's so funny.
This sounds like a surefire plan.
I put up a sign outside my foot massager for massagist for a really hot girls. So if you're really hot and a girl and your feet hurt, come on in. It's free. I'm not trying to have sex with you.
Hey, in the poly thing, I definitely have noticed that sometimes you just want to make out with people. Like it's just fun to make out. And it doesn't have to be sex. You get a lot of that energy out just from that.
Funny enough, the one that I was thinking of that he started with a massage was like he was poly and bi and like a whole unicorn. And I think bi men are like my unicorn, really. I just want a dude to check out dudes with me. Great. But I didn't even expect anything to happen. He's just a friend of mine. He was just like, do you want to massage you? And I was like, oh, I think that's going to go somewhere, I guess. And we, you know, he massaged me. We went up making out. And it was kind of this, like, this is the first time that I was really thinking about it. This is actually the first time I had, when I started dating my first partner, Polly, the first time that I, like, had gone outside of that relationship. And I was like, his roommate's gone, and we have about an hour before his roommate's come back. And, like, I guess we should have sex. I don't know. I guess that's what's supposed to happen here. We're getting kind of rough. But and he actually was the one who was like, you know what's really underrated? Just making out. And I was like, yeah, I was kind of thinking that. Like, can we just make out? and then maybe like take a walk. And we did. It was so nice. It's like, oh, cool. I don't have to worry really about it now. We don't have to worry about like what our boundaries are right off the bat. Just make out and then like go home.
Have you ever just been in the situation where you know it's electric, you're making out, things are getting intense, and then you start actually having penetrative, genital focused play? And you're kind of like, oh, I was really happy at making out. Like, why are we doing this now? I'm really less, somehow this is not as,
That certainly happens to me with girls I don't know that well.
Yeah.
I'm like, give me a couple more makeouts here. I'm weird.
No. It's highly underrated. But then when you're first sexual and getting into it, you're like, oh, sex time. Get to the sex. Oh, God, it's thinking about the giant dildo. I need to have a term for that, like giant dildo syndrome, where that's what you think of first, even though it's such an extreme.
People would not think that that's what you meant by giant dildo syndrome. Oh, that guy's got giant dildo syndrome.
GDS.
He's nice. Stop it. GDS, totally. Generalized dildo syndrome.
I think we're almost out of time, but my last question on the first kissing, because, I mean, this is the first touching is really important. You lean in for the kiss, either you've touched beforehand or not. Mm. You start kissing, tongue or no tongue?
Oh.
What is your style? What is your, like...
I go for a tiny
bit. I'm like, tongue immediately.
Yeah.
You're just like, blah!
You go like a lot? Yeah, lightly. That's what I do.
Just kind of like, hey, we're not just friends.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking remember this. Yeah.
Just put that thing in your
mouth. Have you seen The Wedding Singer? You seen that movie?
So long ago.
They have there's a great, like, purposeful first kiss in that movie between Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, where they're like, well, how would you kiss for the first time? And they like, because she's about to get married or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they do it. And it's like, that kiss, the way that they kissed, is like basically exactly what I think of.
It was the sweetest.
It's like really sweet and soft, like a little bit of tongue. It's like clearly sexual, but not like, we gonna fuck. You know what I mean?
I like, because you have lips. There's four situations here, and I like sort of.
I do have four lips.
No, making sure
it's
like
a good thing you're on radio.
Yeah. I have a terrible face.
Like, you know when you lean in and it's like their lip and then your upper lip and then their lower lip, then your like you're kind of intertwined. I like going lower. Like, I really like having their lower lip in my mouth.
I'm big on that.
Yeah. Like, I'm really into like, but then like slight sucking.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a really nice, sweet, I think, where you can really connect without getting too pushy. Like, you're not trying to bind their tonsils. You're like, bah, bah, bah. I've just been thinking about these things. I think about these things all day, every day. Is what's the best first kiss? What's a great technique? You know, because it's what skills can we have in our bag for when you don't know what a person likes and what is excellent protocol for these situations. Because you develop them there. Like, your kisses with a partner's develop and flourish over time.
Yeah.
And there's all these varieties on the theme. Making out, connoisseur, kind of like wine. Anyway, Danielle, where can people find you and support your work and do all that stuff?
They can find me at girlswithslingshots.com, or if you're really lazy, gwscomic.com.
Okay.
Really, it's not that many more letters to go the full way, but
the first one's easier to remember.
Yeah, actually, girlswithslingshots.com.
Yeah,
all one word. And the comic updates 5 times a week, so it's Monday through Friday. Right now, we've actually got a whole bunch of other things because I slacked off and decided to have guest strips, but they're all really great guest strips. So it's like Saturday or like last Friday to next Sunday kind of deal.
Cool.
Today's Sunday. Oh, no, good. It just started. That's right. I still got a week before I have to do any work again.
It's okay. This is coming out in February.
All right. In that case, it probably just ended. You missed it. Push the back button. But yeah, it's all right there. And there's about 1,500 strips, so you can go through the archive, and it actually is...
Well, you're prolific. Disciplined. Do you have a personal assistant?
I used to. I miss her. She did my laundry, too. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Hot.
But I don't have that anymore. But I do have a company up in Montreal that does all of my like shipping and stuff. So
over
I don't have to
all
do
your
that.
Merchandise and
yeah,
everything.
I don't do any of that. My ad rep is up there.
What kind of merchandise do you have?
I have 7 books out now. Mm-hmm. I'll have an 8th one out by the end of the year, and I have like plushy versions of the cactus characters,
cool.
With like a little mustache. So that's like the flagship character. And
I remember this cactus fellow.
Why I have him is because he's the little branding manager. He's my little branding manager. He takes care of that for me. So you can actually get little plush versions that stand up, and they're really cute and cuddly and soft, just like a cactus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They're cute.
I love that I get to talk to you in person and stuff, and then I can go back and really dig in. Because I had dug in a little bit, but I hadn't gotten full in, and now I'm, like, committed.
Aw,
I'm, like, full-on committed.
I hope you like it.
So, yeah. I hope I like it, too.
I think you will.
No, definitely. And I mean, because I know you spent from BDSM to orientation stuff, gender things,
yeah,
just hotness and silliness, cacti.
There's a whole STD thing, like STD awareness thing, where they all get tested together.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Something on that. So, yeah.
Way to do good work in the world.
I try.
Dave, info, stuff, tell people, things.
Oh, they all, yeah.
Dave,
you know,
Ross, Dave to the at Ross. Twitter.
At Dave to, yeah.
Gmail.
Yeah.
You get at,
it. Yeah. Gmail on twitter.net. At Dave to the Ross on Twitter, Dave to the Ross.com. Mm-hmm.
And I'm at Sex Nerd Zandra. SexNerdZandra.com and things. Hmm. So much stuff going on right now. I can't even handle it. What team are we on, guys?
Team Fun.
Team Fun.
Go Team Fun. Yay. Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.